Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
And friends, it's also a privilege to bring God's word to you today. So let's dive right in. Our theme this year as Watoto Church is Arise and Shine. And we get this from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 2. This is what God said, speaking to the children of Israel. Arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come. And the glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. For in fact, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness will cover the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, Jerusalem, and his glory and brilliance will be seen on you. What a powerful word. I believe for very many of us, 2020 was a difficult year with many challenges. But we thank God, he was faithful and he brought us through. And now 2021 is ahead of us. I hope you hear the sound of God's voice saying, arise and shine. God is calling us to arise, to get out of our comfort zone and to get active concerning his vision and purpose for you as an individual, but for us as a church family. God is calling us to shine, to give our very best effort to serve him wherever he has planted us so that people will encounter the power of his love that will transform their lives. Today, as we wrap up our vision series, Arise and Shine, I want to add to the incredibly prophetic and inspiring messages that our pastors Gary, Julius, and Eddie have shared over the last 3 weeks. Today, I want to challenge you in a critical aspect of our vision as Watoto Church, caring for community. Let's pray together. Jesus, it is a privilege to turn to your word. I pray today that you will speak to us so clearly, that we'll not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And I pray that we'll be so passionate about what you've called us to do and to be as Watoto Church, so that you may receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen and amen. Well, friends, here at Watoto Church, God has given us an incredible vision. In fact, let's recite it together. We are an English-speaking, cell-based community church, celebrating Christ, growing and multiplying as each one reaches one, touching those around us with the love of Jesus, bringing healing to the cities and to the nations. And at Watoto Church, we've managed to summarize our vision in two phrases that capture its essence. These are the two phrases: celebrating Christ and caring for community. Caring for communities is close to our hearts as Watoto. And now you might ask, Brian, why is it so close to your heart? Well, caring for community is close to our hearts because, listen, Jesus cares about every community. When we talk about community, we're talking, number one, about the people in that community. And we want to care for the people holistically, spiritually, emotionally, physically. We want to do that. But when we also talk about community, we're talking about the state or the condition of that community. God cares about the state of the communities within which we live. And the Bible, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's so many stories that tell us about how Jesus cared for his community. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. This is after Jesus has triumphantly marched into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The Bible says after he'd done that, he approached Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. The Bible tells us, as he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it and the spiritual ignorance of its people. The people in Jerusalem were walking in spiritual darkness. They hadn't come to the realization and the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior that God had sent to man. And because of that, it moved the heart of Jesus. It concerned him. He was caring about the spiritual ignorance, the spiritual needs of the people of Jerusalem. And just like Jesus, You and I need to pay attention to the spiritual condition of the people in our community. Do they know the Lord Jesus? Are they born again? And if they're not born again, that should move our hearts. We should weep. We should be concerned for the spiritual state of the people in our community. On one occasion in Acts chapter 10, Peter is speaking about Jesus, who he is and what his mission was here on the earth. And Peter tells the story of how Jesus cared for his community. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible tells us, Peter said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. Wow. Peter is telling us that Jesus cared about his community. When you read the Bible, you see that he fed the hungry. He brought back to life those who were dead. He mourned with those who were weeping. He delivered those who were bound. He healed those who were sick. He was going about doing good. And so as his followers, as his disciples, you and I need to be the kind of people that go around our community caring for people's needs, going everywhere and doing good in the name of Jesus. And then on one occasion, the Bible tells us about an expert in the law who came to Jesus and was asking Jesus, well, what is the greatest commandment? In Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31, I love Jesus's response. This is what he said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. So not only did Jesus care for his community practically, Jesus commanded and Jesus taught that we as his followers must love our neighbors. We must care for our community. Listen, friends, and listen carefully. If you're a follower of Jesus, it is a commandment for us to care for our communities. Yes, Jesus commands us to care for our communities. And this has become core to the way we do life here at Watoto. And this all began for us many, many years ago, with a personal journey that God took our founders, Gary and Marilyn Skinner, on.
I can remember where I was driving along, and God said to me, Gary, in this place you're going to shed blood, sweat, and tears. But if you're faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. And it was while we were in Zambia that God very clearly said to me, Gary, Kampala, downtown English-speaking church.
God and I had several conversations about us coming to Uganda, and they weren't nice conversations on my part. I had just watched many nuns that had been tied up at Clock Tower, and they'd been raped, and they were put before a firing squad. I'm like, God, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be raped. My children aren't going to be safe there. God, I don't want to go to Uganda. I remember sitting, playing the piano at the church where we were having this missionary meeting, and tears rolling down my face and saying, kind of like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But then my mind immediately went back to when I was 9 years old and saying, Jesus, I'll be useful to you no matter what the cost is. I remember singing a song, actually, and it said, Jesus, use me, and oh, Lord, don't refuse me, because surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. And it was at that moment that I said, Jesus, if it costs me my life, I'm going to take the things that are dearest. I'm going to take the things that are best, whether it's plans or people, and Lord, I'm going to kiss them goodbye.
I remember driving into Kampala the very first time, and it was a devastated city. It was a shell, it was a husk, it was destroyed. A lot of people, no shoes, not a lot of people on the streets, almost no vehicles on the streets. You would hear gunfire every night. It was about 2-3 years later, maybe not even quite that long, that we were hit by HIV/AIDS. We heard that it was what they called SLIM. because you got AIDS, you lost your weight, and no antiretrovirals. We found out later that we were one of the highest infection rates in the world, officially 27%, but it was more than that. And people started dying, and we started having funerals on a regular basis, and we also found out that we had the highest number of AIDS orphans in the world. We had a young man who lived in a town called Luero. He said, come up and visit us. He said, I want you to meet this grandmother. She was 76, her husband had died. She had had seven children. Six of her own natural biological children had died. She had 26 of her own grandchildren living with her on that facility. She just began to break down. She said, I have no one to look after these kids. I'm old, I'm tired. I can't dig anymore. What am I going to do? And I said to her, don't worry about your children. We'll help you with your children. And it was a defining moment for me because I realized I couldn't pastor a great church and ignore the problems of the people. And it was during that time that God began to very clearly speak to me and one day said to me, he said, Gary, I want you to look after my children. He didn't say the children, he said my children. Instantly, I knew that it was the orphan because the orphan, he's the father of the fatherless. And I knew I was to look after kids that had been orphaned as a result of, left parentless as a result of HIV/AIDS. And I argued with God. I said, I'm not interested. I don't want to look after kids. Kids pee their pants, they flatulate. I want to preach. I want to pastor. And God, Jesus said to me, he said, I didn't send you to Uganda to do what you want. I sent you to Uganda to do what I want. Look after my children.
Amazing. And yet God wasn't done. He continued to lead us into this full revelation, understanding what it really means to care for community. One day God had a conversation with Gary. Don't you just love how God does his things? He was opening a brand new chapter of us caring for community. So he had a conversation with Gary. He asked Gary, who do you think you are? Gary said, well, I'm a pastor. I pastor a church, great church, 5,000 people. It's an awesome church. God said, well, how can you care for 5,000 people if my son only pastored 12? God began to lead Gary into the understanding that we needed to be a small group church, a cell-based church. And then God began to help Gary understand what that looked like and why he was leading us to become a cell-based church. He asked Gary, well, who owns community? Gary said, well, the people own community. Government owns community. God says, no. Government doesn't own community. The people don't own community. God says, I own community because I own everything. And when community is hurting, when community has problems, they are my problems to solve. But guess what? I give those problems to my people, the church, the Christians in that community, so that they will be my hands and feet, aiming at the pain and bringing healing and hope where there is darkness. Wow. That began to radically change the way we were going about ministry here at Watoto Church. So we transitioned in 1997 to become a cell-based church. Every member was to become a part of a cell group. Yes, for discipleship, evangelism, and fellowship, but critically, it was about engaging with our community and taking the love of Jesus into our community. We began to see people giving their lives to Jesus, lives being transformed. And here's the other thing. God wanted us to come alongside our community, as community members as well, and begin to ask, what are the pains in this community? Let's come together and solve the issues of our community. It was about caring for the people and caring for the state of our communities. This radically changed the way we began to do ministry here at Watoto Church. And we began to grow from 5,000, 15,000, and today there's 35,000 people that call Watoto Church home. Isn't God good? We need to praise God. Just say amen in the comment section. God is so good. And yet, God wasn't done. In about 2008, God began to speak to the leadership at Watoto Church to go into the neighborhoods within our community and pay attention to the plight of the vulnerable woman.
20 years ago, the biggest need that we observed as Watoto in our communities was parentless children due to war and HIV/AIDS that really affected our country. But now, Uganda has grown and life has changed. The number of widows and orphans due to HIV/AIDS and war has gone down, but there's still broken and hurting people in our neighborhoods. The biggest hurting group is this single mom with her children. She's been abandoned, some of them abused and rejected, and so she has to look after all these children. And when we reached out to them and asked them, how can we come alongside you to help you? That's when they told us four things that they really required. These four stood out amongst the needs. They said, if you can help me, give my children great education. Then secondly, they also talked about the issue of their income. If we can find employment and have a stable source of income, then we can look after ourselves and our children. Then the third thing they said is our health, because some of them really are still struggling from HIV/AIDS and different diseases. So health came out as a high-ranking thing, that if they could get proper medical care, that would be of great help. And finally, they talked about their housing situation. These women live in absolutely deplorable conditions, and I don't think anyone should live in such situations, but they've been abandoned and they just find a slum and live in a place that is really not habitable, for lack of better words. And so they said, if our housing can be improved, that will also be of great help. And so as a church, our response is to be relevant right now to the current need. There's thousands of vulnerable women that we see every day. I see many of them in the night trying to use their bodies to make an income. And that breaks my heart. Women will try to do everything for their children. They give their all to look after their kids. And I can't just be there as a Christian claiming to celebrate Jesus, but not paying attention to the things that break Jesus' heart. And so personally, I want to get involved. So what we're calling this now is Watoto Neighborhood. Going to our neighborhood and meeting the need right there. I believe God will be glorified because we chose to go to where the hurting, the ignored are, and we've made a difference in their lives, and hopefully they will have encountered this same person of Jesus that has changed our lives and motivated us to do what we do.
You know, friends, I'm really excited about what God has ahead of us as we continue to care for community. You know, as we disciple these women and continue to empower them, we shall be able to care for more than 10,000 children, each of them being raised to be a godly transformational leader, so that in their day they will lead the transformation of not just this city and not just this nation, but literally the continent of Africa. It is so exciting. And listen, friends, after being at Watoto for 22 years, I've come to recognize that caring for community isn't something we just grab a hold of naturally. In us, we are broken. We are selfish. We care for me, myself, and I. Especially after what we've experienced in 2020, every single one of us wants to make sure that we're okay. And it's very easy for us to begin to retreat, to only care about our needs. But God is saying, Watoto Church, will you arise and shine? Will you go beyond me, myself, and I? Will you begin to care for your community? Because listen, friends, caring for community is a revelation. It is a revelation by which you allow the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your heart to begin to see the darkness, the hopelessness, and the brokenness that is in your community. So much so that it begins to break your heart and you turn to God, and this is what you say: here I am, Lord, send me into my community to shine the light of your love so that people may see that you are their only hope. Caring for community, friends, is a revelation from God. And over the last 29 years, God has been unveiling what that really means, opening page after page. And I love what Isaiah chapter 60 verse 3 says. Nations will be drawn to your light. Listen, it is so clear from God's word that when we arise and shine with the light of God's love to care for our community, the darkness and despair that they face will be overcome. It will be defeated. And those friends will come running to us. And that will be the greatest opportunity to begin to point them to the light of the world who overcomes their darkness. And his name is Jesus. My prayer. Listen, friends, my prayer for us as Watoto Church, the entire Watoto Church family, is that we will receive a fresh revelation of becoming the church that Jesus desires. We need to be a church that is not only theological and biblically sound in its doctrine, because that's where it all begins, but God wants us to also go to the next level. He wants us to be a church that is practical in its love for Jesus by caring for our communities. Why? When our hearts are moved to begin to care for our communities, God's favor will be upon us in ways that we can never imagine. He will begin to position us to reach many whose lives are broken, people who are desperate and frustrated because life hasn't worked out. And for each of them, listen, we shall begin to minister the life-transforming love of Jesus Christ through practical acts of kindness, of generosity, of love that will point them again to the one who truly fixes what is broken, the one who truly changes lives, and his name is Jesus. Jesus. I think about Nehemiah in the Bible. Nehemiah served in the palace of the king. And one day his brother Hanani returned from Jerusalem and he told him, hey, the wall has been broken. The gates have been burned. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Nehemiah's heart was broken. He knew that he needed to do something. He knew that he needed to respond. He reached out to the king. When the king saw the concern on his face, he said, what's bothering you? He told him the story of what's happening in Jerusalem. And the Bible says God poured out favor on Nehemiah and he was able to respond. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 8. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. When he made a request to the king, will you allow me, God, do something about the state of Jerusalem and the ruins within which it lies? Wow. God poured out favor and Nehemiah was able to go with permission, going through kingdom to kingdom until he got home and he was able to lead the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Listen, friends, here are two important things to remember about caring for community. Number one, caring for community is the heart of God. It is the heart of God. I love Psalm 72. We're going to read verse 4 and then verse 12 to 14. It is a prayer by King Solomon, and he's praying that God will give justice, a concern for the community. Caring for community would be the heart of the king. And so this is what he prayed for the king in verse 4. Help him to defend the poor, to rescue the children of the needy. And that's my prayer for us, Watoto Church, that that will be our heart, to defend the poor, to rescue the children of the needy. And this is what happens when that becomes our heart. In verse 12, he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. And friends, that's what has been happening at Watoto Church for the last 29 years. God has allowed us as Watoto Church to capture his heart and carry his heart for the orphan and the widow. Wow. James chapter 2 verse 15 to 17 helps us understand this. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Well, friends, we have to do more than just preach good sermons, and we must. We must do more than just gathering and celebrating. We must care for our communities. We must allow the Holy Spirit to pour the love of God in our hearts so that we may walk into the communities and show the love of Jesus. It is so urgent, my friends. So not only is it the heart of God, caring for community will be rewarded by God. God rewards those who care for community. He rewards us as individuals. He rewards us as families. He rewards us as churches. Listen, caring for community is not in vain. And listen, we don't do it for the reward. But knowing that God will reward us one day energizes us to continue doing the good work of caring for community. Matthew 25 verse 40 is a parable that helps us understand what will happen on judgment day. There are those that will be sent to the left who walked in disobedience to Christ. But there are those who will walk to the right, who have walked in obedience to Christ. And one of the things he talks to them about is the way they cared for community. That they visited those in prison. That they gave a cup of water to those who were thirsty. That they fed those who were hungry. And they clothed those who were naked. And they'll ask him, God, when did we do that? When did we do all of that? And Jesus will tell them this. And I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Listen, God takes notice. When we do even the simplest act of caring for those in our community, he takes note of it, and listen, he will reward you for it. We have the great example of the early church. After Jesus had left the apostles and his disciples to lead the church, the Bible says that the early church continued in that tradition of caring for community. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 to 47. The Bible tells us all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow! God rewarded the early church for caring for their community. He gave them favor in the community. They had impact in their community. And he continued to grow the strength of the church by adding to their number those who were being saved. We've experienced all of that at Watoto. From 5,000 to 35,000. And guess what? God is not done. God wants us to grow 100,000 and even more, reaching people all across Kampala, all across Gulu, all across Mbarara, all across Juba, South Sudan, and whoever and wherever God will take us, reaching people with the love of Jesus. Fantastic. God will reward us, Watoto Church. Let's not give up doing the good work of caring for community. And on behalf of the leadership of Watoto, I want to say thank you to every single person that is involved in any little thing we do to care for our communities. I get to have a front row seat as a pastor, watching how together we care for community. I think about the story of Sophie Ezati, one of our cell leaders, who was a former Muslim. Her family would get them at a young age of 15 or 16 and marry them off. She managed to escape. One day, she gave her life to Jesus and her family completely rejected her. But she found a family at Watoto Church, a small group of people, a cell, who cared for her, who didn't abandon her. They began to support her. In fact, they helped her get back on her feet. Today, Sophie is doing very well. She's planted here at Watoto Church, loving and serving Jesus on our volunteer teams here on the weekend. And listen, she is now looking after her other family members. Some of the little girls who are getting ready to be married off, she rescues them, she raises them, and helps them see the future that God has in store for them. God is amazing. Listen, I could tell you story upon story. I think about Charles, who joined a cell in a part of our city called Mulago. He had only visited twice, but then he fell ill. He passed out because he hadn't been eating for a while. One day, out of concern, one of his cell members, Doreen, went and visited him. She found he wasn't well. They took him to the hospital, looked after him. Not only did they look after him there, they cleared all the bills. Listen, he'd only been there twice. And then they, in conversation with him, realized that he'd been estranged from his family. No one wanted to do anything with him because he had multiple personal issues. But they cared for him. At Christmas time, his cell leader, Abby, went with him to his family. And he spent time with Abby's family for Christmas. He just felt like he belonged. And then one day, the cell put some transport together and they said, you need to go visit your mother and fix your broken relationship. He did that. Today, they have an incredible relationship with Charles and his mom. It's an incredible story of transformation. Today, Charles is recovering from some of his personal issues, and he is doing so well. He'd only been there twice, and his friends began to wonder, who are these people that are so committed to you, and you've only been there twice? And it is a cell who are filled with the love of Jesus. They've grabbed a hold of the revelation of what it means to care for community. I could tell you story upon story. All our sponsors all across the world who continue to support our children here at Watoto. Even after the effects of the COVID pandemic, you're still being faithful. We thank God for you and we pray that God will bless you. During the COVID pandemic outbreak, Ourselves here at Watoto Church responded by caring for their community. Watch this video and see what God is able to do through us together.
Through the church, God has used us to touch the communities where it is hurting. And we know that when we express the love of God in the communities, people's lives are transformed.
Tuli basanyufu nnyo mikwano gyaffe aba watoto chachi bwe balotwagala nze ne famile yange ne mutuleetera ku Christmas mwebale nnyo ne pastor twebaza byonna mwebale mutufu ndi musanyufu nze ne famile yange.
I thank God for Watoto Church and you guys who have been there. Thank you for thinking about me. I never knew that there is someone out there. I know that God lives. Whatever we're going through is always there for us. And you can hear our prayers.
Thank you so much, Church, for your continued generosity. What you do is able to help us reach out to the communities. May the good Lord bless you.
Wow, Watoto, praise God, amen. Thank you for loving Jesus and thank you for caring for your community. And now as we begin to land this plane, you're asking, Brian, how can I get involved? I want to begin participating in caring for my community. Well, number one is join a cell. Join a small group of 5 to 10 Watoto Church members that meet in your community for fellowship, for discipleship. We want to help you become the Christian that God wants you to be. But more than that, your cell is an opportunity for you to engage with your community with the love of Jesus. I want you to get involved today. Write to us, cell@watotochurch.com, connect@watotochurch.com. Make sure you write that email today. We want to connect you to a small group in your area so that you can be part of those that are caring for community. The second thing you can do is this, give. Give generously. Listen, like we read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. It is not in vain. Every little thing that you give goes towards transforming community. You can give of your time, get involved in a cell, open your home to host a cell, get involved with your time. Whenever we plan community activities to touch the community with the love of Jesus, be a part of those. Use your talents to get involved in the cell group. Use your singing talents to lead worship and use your music talents to bring your community together and use those opportunities to preach the gospel. You can use your planning skills to help us plan community engagements that are going to bring the love of Jesus to people in your community. Well, use your leadership gifts to lead a small group, to facilitate children and teenagers in your community so that we can reach everyone with the love of Jesus. But you can also give of your treasure. Your finances go a long way towards reaching people with the love of Jesus. My wife and I sponsor a little girl called Rizpa Mirembe. You can become a sponsor today at Watoto. For 70,000 shillings a month, you will give a child a future that is filled with hope through the love of Jesus. How can you do that? Begin. Get the details. I'm going to come up later. Begin to sponsor a child at Watoto today. As well, in your cell. In our cell, I'll tell you this story, we have a cell bag where we put some little money aside every week. It helps us gather up some money that we use to bless our community whenever we have the opportunity. You can begin to do that. Your generosity makes a difference. And here's the final thing you can do. Pray. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Listen, friends, I want you to make this matter of caring for community a prayer need every week. Pray that God will continue to open our hearts to understand this great revelation of caring for community, the opportunity we have to bring hope and healing into a dark world. Listen, we are not an NGO. We are a church, a family of God's people that care. We need the Holy Spirit to help us every day remain hungry and desperate to touch our community with the love of Jesus. Every day, pray. Pray that God will continue to help us be that kind of church. So don't just watch what's happening, get involved. Wow. Caring for communities, the heart of God. May we all find our place and get involved. Well, you might be watching the service today and you're not born again. I'll encourage you. Jesus is the light of the world. Without Jesus, we are trapped in the darkness of our sins. We are far from God. But you don't have to live that life anymore. Today, you can say, Jesus, I want to walk in your light. Will you save me and change me? And today you will be born again. Will you pray this prayer after me and commit your life to Jesus? Pray, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I'm trapped in the darkness of my sin. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Make me a child of God. Come into my heart. Save me. I will live for you and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Do write to us and let us know. Connect at watotochurch.com. You've given your life to Jesus. We want to walk with you and help you be the disciple of Jesus that he wants you to be. So excited for you, my friend. And Watoto Church, let's continue to care for our community. Listen, God will bless us. God will reward us. God will give us his favor and he'll position us to be that kind of church that is bringing hope and healing to our community in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.